Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Chino, I'm telling you, the guy works like nobody I know. I mean, he gets done with one radio hit, his primary role there at WGR, our sister station. He jumps on with us. It's the great Paul Hamilton covering the Buffalo Sabres and joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Hey, Paul, how are you?
You're probably getting nervous there. Bulldog took me late.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're like, I bet you he's on, and we flip over. Oh, yeah, yep. He's just wrapping up. All right, let's time this up, and we timed it up perfectly. I love when a plan comes together.
Paul, 3-0-1. If we can kind of take a big picture look here and start with the head coach, what are the biggest changes you've noticed under the system here of Ralph Krueger as opposed to last year?
It's all
year?
Chris Taylor, right? It's all, we're very provincial.
That's exactly it. If it wasn't for Chris Taylor, they wouldn't be doing this. So, no, Chris is a good coach, though. I think that's why they brought him up. Because maybe they knew this was going to maybe be a while and long term, and they wanted what he could bring to the bench, and he knows what he's talking about. He was there for training camp. He knows exactly what they want as far as a coaching staff, and so I think it was just a fit. Had it just been something that it was going to be maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, I don't think maybe they would have done it that way. But I think since this is going to probably be long-term, that's why they did decide to do it that way.
What are your first impressions of new head coach Ralph Krueger? I mean, you can't argue the result early in the season, but what have you noticed? What is the biggest change from last year to this year?
A huge buy-in from the players. They totally believe in what he's doing. I mean, you just look at the guys who fans love to hate, the whipping boys. I mean, Marco Scandella has played overall very well so far. Sobotka has played pretty much very well. He hasn't been able to get any points. But until last night, I didn't love his game last night. But overall, you know, he has been, I mean, going into last night's game, he led the team in hits with 9. Tell me if you had that be over under.
Yeah.
I mean, they seem to be buying into what he wants them to do. Plus, it's a lot of pressure. Everything's done in twos there. You see the pressure of him going, the two guys going in defensively or two guys going in offensively. If a team's coming into the offensive zone, their thought is to try to get them out of the slot, push them to the outside. Now, they had better luck with it in the first two games than they've had in the last two. But still, you know, that's what they're trying to accomplish is there's always pressure. There's always a guy in, and there's always a guy right on his tail following up. And, you know, so far so good. I mean, the Montreal game was a back-and-forth effort where they were in their own zone a lot. And then they'd go down and be in the offensive zone for a while. And usually you don't see it that way where they dominated the first two games, got dominated in the third game, but got such good goaltending that they were able to pull a point out of it.
Paul Hamilton, WGR, Sabres reporter, joining us here. The power play has been unbelievable, Paul, but I want to focus in on Victor Olofsson. For us here in Rochester, not a surprise, but I think the difference between this current regime and maybe years past, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Olofsson, I think mid-year last year, nobody would have thought anything differently had he gotten called up, but he didn't. He stayed here in Rochester. He produced. Maybe there is something to this whole development thing after all.
Yeah, there is, but there's still, you know, there's still some flies on his game, too. 5-on-5 has pretty much been absolutely nothing. I mean, he hasn't really even gotten scoring chances 5-on-5 playing with two really good players. Power play has been phenomenal, you know, what he's been able to accomplish there. But you look at his 5-on-5 play, and he's just not, you don't even notice he's on the ice. And by the end of the game, he's not even on the ice anymore. Jimmy Vesey jumps into that line, or Jeff Skinner right at the end, the last shift before overtime, and almost wound up scoring, jumped in with that line. So, especially in the games that they're ahead, you know, the tight one that they were in, not the 7-2 one, but the tight one, you know, Olsson was done by the middle of the third period because they didn't want him out on the ice in that situation. And, you know, again, BC wound up taking his spot on that line. So there's still a long ways to go. I mean, it's been all power play for him. He tied an NHL record with the goal last night. His first six NHL goals have been in the power play, which actually ties an NHL record.
So the power play production is unsustainable. We know that, and it's been great to watch early in the season. But you bring up 5-on-5, and it would be nice to see them scoring a few more goals 5-on-5. What do you think needs to happen?
Their 5-on-5 play hasn't been horrible. I mean, it just depends on what night we're talking. The problem is their best line 5-on-5 is the Larson line with Gergensens and Okposo. They get in the offensive zone and teams can't get the puck out, and they just keep cycling and getting pucks to the crease. The problem is none of them can score.
Yeah.
So they're getting all these opportunities and aren't cashing in on any of them. And I mean spending all night in the offensive zone. I think they had one shift in the defensive zone the other night. Kruger has called them, of the four games, the most consistent line that they've had in the four games. So, you know, that it's just, I think, getting some consistency. The Casey Mittelstadt line has been the other side of it. You know, they've basically played the whole season in the defensive zone. And that's been a tough one. I mean, I look at Jimmy Vesey. He really hasn't had a real good scoring chance yet. And, you know, that's a problem when it comes to that. So I think a lot of it is, you know, Casey Mittelstadt trying to find his way. And that doesn't mean he never will. I was just talking to Bulldog about, you look at Nate MacKinnon. It took him 4 years. He didn't get the 90-some-odd points until his fifth season. And you're talking about a very, very high pick there. And I could give you example after example that sometimes it takes 3, 4, 5 years. Well, Sabre fans don't want to hear that. But I just want to caution people, even if it doesn't come for Casey Mittelstadt in this season, that doesn't mean it never will.
Paul Hamilton, WGR, talking some Sabres hockey, Buffalo against Florida tomorrow night. Paul, not only is Rasmus Ristolainen still here, he's playing an awful lot. So what are we seeing right now? Is he part of the big plan here, or is this more of a showcase? What are your thoughts on Ristolainen and what we've seen so far?
Well, he should not be playing an awful lot. I mean, the first two games, he was good. Last night was 25 minutes. He didn't need to be out there 25 minutes. Colin Miller has been their best defenseman.
Yep.
Now, Rasmus Dahlin was having trouble in last night's game, especially in the neutral zone. But, I mean, he's perfectly willing to shift up the lines late in games. So why not put Miller out there? All right, Dahlin's having his problems. Let Miller go out there with McCabe. And, you know, put your best defenseman out there with him and go that way. So I just don't think I know what your next question is. Well, why do coaches continually do it? Every coach that comes in here, back to Bielsma and maybe before that, well, we're not going to play him that long. We know we've got to reduce his minutes. Well, what they see is when he's good, he's really, really good. When he's on his game and good, he absolutely is a number one defenseman. But the problem is you don't see it that much. And I think he just tantalizes coaches. I think they see it and they go, you know what? We've got to, you know, if that was really good, maybe if we throw him out there more, really good is going to come out more. And then really good doesn't come out more. And, you know, that's, I think, the dilemma. They know what he's capable of, and they just keep throwing him out there, and they get it sometimes, and sometimes they don't.
Paul, what I was looking for more than anything last night, I was really curious to see how Jack Eichel was going to respond to the way the game ended in Columbus. And boy, did he respond. I mean, talk about his play through the early part of this season here, and especially that the response to how the game ended in Columbus. You had a chance there to talk to him afterwards. How did he take it? And you know, I love seeing action rather than just words on display. And his action last night was terrific.
Yeah, and it just amazed me that I still got people on Twitter who were ripping him because, you know, on the fourth Montreal goal, he comes in, he tries to go through a couple of Canadians and should have got the puck in deep. It was late in the third period with a 4-3 lead. Turns it over, Montreal comes back the other way, and they wind up setting up in the zone and wind up scoring on a play where they shouldn't even have had the puck. And Jack was the first one to talk about it in the post game. He says, I got to be better than that. He goes, I can't be doing that. And, you know, talked about it. But my response was this. If every night I can get two goals and two assists out of Jack Eichel, and he gives the puck away once to cost them a goal, don't you sign up for that?
Yeah.
I think my math tells me you're leading 4-1 in that case. Maybe it's been too long since I've been in math class, but my math tells me that if he can produce 4 points for you and gives away one, you still have a 3-goal lead, don't you?
Paul Hamilton joining us here. I know it's only 4 games in, but could we have 2 legitimate lines? And this was a conversation, well, everybody had last year. Should the Sabres break up Eichel and Skinner? But if you're going to pay Skinner all that much, well, Skinner and Johansson, your thoughts on the second line right now, Paul, and you know where Jeff Skinner is at, that goal against Columbus was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you've got 5 goals between the two of them. Sobotka doesn't have any points yet. Until last night, I liked his game a lot. I mean, he went into last night's game leading the team in hits with 9. I don't think too many people would have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's been hard on the forecheck, and he's not a guy that's very good at converting on those types of things. So he's had 0s, but in the first 3 games of the season, I think has really helped contribute to them getting zone time. He just hasn't been in on the scoring. Now, he wasn't in on the scoring, as I said, I didn't much like his game. I don't think he was quite as involved in against Montreal as he was in the other ones, but his game has been night and day from last year. Just he seemed so disinterested last year. I don't think he wanted to be here, and I think he couldn't stand Phil Housley. He's mentioned many times that the problem with his game was the way he was used. And I think he went home and they made a coaching change. And I think he looked in the mirror and decided he needs to be better. He came back and said so, that he needs to be better. And that's more like the Sabot guy I saw in Boston and St. Louis than the person I saw who was completely disinterested last year.
Paul, talk about that for a little bit, because that was one of the things we heard, one of the bigger changes. We had the chance to talk to Gord Dineen a couple of weeks here ago before the Amherst season got underway, and one of the things that he mentioned, the differences between what the Sabres were with Phil Housley versus what they are now with Ralph Kruger, is Kruger is encouraging them to be more creative, that it's less of a system, so to speak, and you know, a recognition that you guys are professionals, you've played your whole life, you know how to play this game, use some of that ability and skill that you have on the ice, and your creativity will lead to opportunity.
Hockey is a game you can't stop and think. It has to be repetition, where it just comes naturally to you. And for it's just been too much stopping and thinking, especially last year in the defensive zone, because it was so obvious. They didn't know what they were doing in the defensive zone last year at all. They didn't have a clue what they were doing. So they'd be sitting there thinking, and it would just totally get away from them. And I mean totally get away from them. And that's what I think the difference is. He's not, of course, you know, he's putting good sound ideas in their minds of how he wants them to play. But he also wants to see their creativity come out. He wants them to just be natural on the ice. Within guidelines, you know, it's not a hard, fast system, but within guidelines. And for the most part so far, I mean, it worked really, really well in the first 2 games. Now that some teams are adjusting, they have to adjust a little, but still, even while they're adjusting, they picked up 3 out of the last 4 points.
Paul, we also talked to Tage Thompson, who you know did not get the call up with Connor Sherry, and that benefits the Amherst, who are playing tomorrow night. They got 3 games in 3 days. But the one thing that he said that kind of stood out to us was you know, talking about his time up in Buffalo, that he had to learn how to block out the negativity. Look, that's not the first player that has said something like that. I think somewhere along the lines that Robin Leonard said something like that. I mean, what's your sense? Was there a big culture problem? Is that culture getting changed right now? If that's true, is that culture getting changed in Buffalo right now?
Well, he was a whipping boy last year, too. He'd get crucified on Twitter, and that's the problem with today's athlete. And I know for a fact there's some of these guys in the Sabre room who are looking at Twitter in between periods. What are you doing? You shouldn't even have your phones. Like Tortorella. Tortorella just takes their phones as they walk in the door. What are you checking Twitter for? Why do you care what a newspaper guy or a radio guy or a TV guy has to say about the first period? Really? And I don't know if Tage was doing that. I'm not accusing him of that, but I know some of them do. And, you know, he's young. And, of course, you don't want to hear people constantly ripping you, fans and everything else. And that has to be hard. And I don't think he handled it well. But now that he's been through it and he went and did what he was supposed to do in the off season, he did exactly what was asked of him. He's gotten stronger. I thought there was a preseason game he was the best player on the ice, and the next one he was close to the best player on the ice. Quite honestly, I think he should have made the team. They kept saying that the best guys who perform the most are going to make the team. That was not true. But I don't think he should be the call-up for here because Rodriguez is going to play. I don't think there's any reason for Tage Thompson to come up here and be the extra forward. So I wasn't anticipating him being the call-up even if there was one. I think when they go out west on Monday night after the game, there will be a call-up, but I would expect if the team is still in the same health that it's in now, that would be more of like Lazar or Wilson or somebody of that ilk, more one of the older players that can be one of the extras, and if you need to put him in, you can. I don't see any point calling up Thompson and let him travel around California and watch the team play.
Paul, great stuff as always. Great job covering the team. We look forward to your continued coverage on WGR at ESPNRochester.com as well. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right, take care.
You got it. Paul Hamilton. It's great. Covering the Sabres for
I forgot to ask
station.
Him. I know he's a Yankee fan who he wants the Rays or the Astros.
Oh, come on. Is there even a question?
Yeah.
No. What Yankee fan in their right mind is really, yeah, we want the Astros. No, you want the Rays. The Rays are your pathway to home field.
It's not a home field. You'll have home field for all seven games if it goes seven games.
That's right.
For crying out loud.
That's right.
Yeah.
Rays. Hear that game tonight here on ESPN Rochester. Pregame starting at 6:30. Decisive game 5. Rays and the Astros from Minute Maid Park. Looking forward to that. We've got NFL appetizers on the way. Thursday night football to talk about.
Oh, yes.
Do we have to? Yes.
Well.
Yes.
Yes. Fantasy-wise, yes. We got to get you set up. We'll tell you a little bit about this game tonight, Patriots and Giants. One name that's rumored to be on the market. Well, the head coach shooting down this wide receiver being on the market. We'll tell you that story. There was a sit-down today between the Jags owner and Jalen Ramsey. We'll tell you the result of that.
NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We go around the NFL next with top stories of the day. It's NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.